Views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning. Welcome to Generations Talk Radio. I am your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. We are here live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. If you want to give us a call and join us, you can give us a call at 605-4567 or jump in the chat room at kcnr1460.com. My guest this morning is Candace Barker. She is a Master of Social Work, MSW, with Sojourn Hospice here in Reading. Good morning, Candace.
Good morning.
I think you've been on with me another time, haven't you?
I have.
Yeah, I thought so, and I thought I could count on you to help me carry the show today. I'm still recovering from all this craziness going on.
Oh, you're not alone.
No, I'm not. Which leads us to our discussion today. Candace recently attended a training called the Skills for Psychological Recovery here in Reading. I believe the McConnell Foundation helped put that on, yes?
Yes, the McConnell Foundation actually funded it, and it was organized by the Reading unit of the National Association of Social Workers.
Okay. And you and I were chatting on the phone, and it came up that I really wanted to have this conversation with you because, and I'm going to use myself as an example throughout the show of just dealing with all of the car fire, the fallout, financial ramifications, business ramifications, with friendships, with relationships, with our health and our wellness and I think that we all, in this haste to get back to normalcy, also need to acknowledge the kind of trauma that we've experienced. And this is kind of what that training was focusing on, yes?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Absolutely. And it was actually presented by Dr. Ruzick, who actually built the psychological recovery program for Sonoma Strong.
Okay.
After their fire last year.
Mm-hmm.
So he was full of, like, great information. And to be in a room full of mental health professionals and our Sojourn Hospice chaplain, John Wiseman, was also there in attendance with me because I'm also a bereavement coordinator, and we do a lot of the grief and loss processing, which is basically what a lot of people are already dealing
mm-hmm.
with regards to the
right,
car fire.
Right. And I think, like, in my experience, I think that, you know, just yesterday, I acknowledged to myself mentally, like, you've been through a trauma. Like, I was evacuated. I had to go through my home and decide what mattered to me and what I would leave behind. And I had to, you know, see flames coming over a hill and leave my home there and get through town with other people trying to flee
mm-hmm.
this situation.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, saw on the news, it looked like the apocalypse was coming for us.
Correct.
You know, that Thursday night, the West Side on fire like that, not knowing if you have a home to go back to. All of those emotions. Fortunately, I do have a home to go back to. At the same time, all those emotions that I was processing through that 3 to 4 day window of not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did know it was standing, but I didn't know. I mean, I just got in on Thursday, so I was out a week. I didn't know what I'd walk back into. You know, a good friend of mine goes, you know, I want you to be prepared.
Yeah.
You can have smoke damage. You could have, you know, fire damage to part of it. You could have, you know, and so then I'm like, oh gosh, that's true. And then you get back into the house and then I see how close it got. You know, it burned all the way up to the back wall. I had, my fence was melted in pieces. My neighbor's fences were melted. We saw where the spot fires were on the block. On the same block I'm on, the other end of Sunflower, like 7 or 8 homes were gone.
Right.
So people would say, oh, you're on Sunflower. Like, you know, and then I'm like, yeah, but I think I'm on the end. That's okay. You know,
yeah.
But just like all of that, I just think you don't. And I wrote something on Facebook, like, it's time to get back into our new normal. It's time to, and that is true, you know, to get back into your routines. But also, I just think you can't just shut off.
Correct.
All of those emotions of, like, of that loss.
Correct.
You know, and you know, what did you guys talk about in the training? Like, when people do try to do that, they try to just rally through that. Like, how does that come back up? How does that come back out of their bodies? If you really don't, what happens to you? Is it like depression? Is it anxiety? Like,
well,
how does that manifest itself?
It's actually a part of the grief process. And so we know that there are different levels and stages of the grief process. And depending on the situation that you were in specifically, you're going to enter that process at a different stage. So for a lot of people who did lose their homes and are completely, you know, lost about what to do next, there is that anger and that fear about
grieving that.
So for you, coming home and having your home there and your neighbors not, we were talking earlier about some survivor guilt and how your home is still standing. What makes you any different than the experience of the person right down the street that has lost everything?
Absolutely. And then I go, you know, you don't get to feel this way because you could have it so much worse.
Right.
So then as I'm starting to feel bad and I've been having these dreams of like evacuating and like I said to you off the air this morning, the people that I would count on to help me evacuate don't show up for me and all these really weird, you know, manifestations of this grief process or whatever. Then I go, you know, man up. Woman up, you know, you could have it so much worse than so, you have it so much better than so-and-so friend that you know. And so, I mean, because people I know in my social circle were some of the people that lost their homes. And then I'm not even allowing myself to feel that emotion because I'm not entitled to feel it because I don't have it as bad as they do. And that's not okay, you know.
It's not okay.
Right.
Respecting where you are and what you have is one thing. And being able to say I'm glad that I still have my home and I can appreciate and value my home in a completely different way and know that there is a completely different path and journey that somebody else is on that is also related to the same event. So there's the event that connects everybody, but the path through is completely different for each person.
That's absolutely. It's like grief. It's like losing a loved one. Everyone. Yes. I remember when my mother passed away, and I was 40, and I went to the doctor, and I said, I have these dreams that I look in the casket, and it's me instead of her, and I wasn't sleeping very well. And he said, here's the deal with grief. It can take you 3 months or it can take you 3 years. It'll take you as long as it takes you, depending on how you respond to if you let yourself feel those emotions. And because I'm such an overachiever, I'm like, okay, fine. I'm gonna feel this. You know, I'm going to go through it. And that's kind of how I feel about this is like you can – And part of your training, and I want to talk about this more throughout the show, but this can actually turn into like a PTSD situation for some people if they're really not able to connect with these emotions and work through them and process them right.
Right. And it has to be nipped in the bud as soon as humanly possible before it gets to a point where the trauma itself is running your show.
Can this happen for like children also?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So parents with kids that... Either, you know, even if they didn't ever evacuate, you've got children that, you know, saw this on the news, saw their parents experience it. A lot of people that didn't evacuate still had their kids pack a bag.
Yep.
So that was like, pick your things, what you want to take if we have to leave our home. They may have known friends that lost their homes or got evacuated. And, you know, of course, they see it on the news. And the news coverage was the worst shots that they could possibly show.
Right.
Because that's what the news cycle wants, right? So, I mean, I had friends on the East Coast. You know, oh my gosh, your whole town is on fire. You know, that's what it looked like.
Yes.
So we've got all of these little minds seeing all of that because, of course, the parents have to be informed of what's going on.
Right.
So they're going to be needing probably some guidance with this also from their parents.
Yes.
Yeah.
So actually within the training itself, it was so Dr. Resnick also was with the National Center for PTSD and the National Child Traumatic Stress Network. So within this guidebook that we received after attending the seminar were tidbits of information to help mental health workers work with people in different ages and stages of the grief process with regards to a traumatic event like this. So obviously, like depending on the developmental need of the person or the child, your response is going to be a little bit different. Some of us have had really strict daily routines or rituals that have rooted us into our days, especially when we are in the mental health field or in the professional helping line of work. I mean, you as a business owner had all of your staff that you still had to
contend with
and give them that emotional support.
Right.
And business owners like restaurateurs and just small businesses in town, all of them. They all had their own network of families and employees that they needed to support.
Right, and I want to take a quick break, and I want to talk more about that. Us that are in a field where we are also responsible for other people, how we might support them, how we did support them, and also how we still need to own where we're at in that process.
Okay. Okay.
So we'll take a quick break and come right back with Generations Talk Radio right after this.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Redding. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
Hi, I'm Rick Hughes, host of the newest talk radio show heard here on KCNR 1460 AM on the dial. It's called The Flotline, F-L-O-T, Flotline. It'll be heard every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 AM. Come join me and learn how God has tremendous problem-solving devices that you can use to stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside sources of stress. That's The Flotline with Rick Hughes every Sunday morning here on KCNR at 7 a.m.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
Received news that Chlorina and Sludge have been captured for impersonating spring water. Let's now go to our field reporter, Olza Wett.
Once again, Bob the Drop saves the world from fake water and... Oh, here's Bob now. Bob, do you have anything to say?
Well, Chlorina and Sludge from Tapopolis are the worst. Why would you want wannabe water when you can have the best tasting water delivered right to your door? Anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Welcome back to Generations Talk Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Clark. We are here live every Wednesday. We are embracing aging. Give us a call at 605-4567 or jump into the chat room at kcnr1460.com with any questions or comments. My guest this morning is Candace Barker. She's a Master's of Social Work with Sojourn Hospice. She's also the bereavement coordinator there. And she just took a class here in Reading called Skills for Psychological Recovery. And really chatting with her prior to the show, understanding how all of us are processing this car fire and our evacuations, our the emotional toll things took on us, the fear, the anxiety, the adrenaline, all of the emotions and everything that come along with that. And before the break, we were chatting a little bit about those of us that were not only personally involved, for instance, evacuating or preparing to evacuate, but in a business setting, for instance, I'll throw myself in the ring. I have, you know, upwards of 60 employees that have families and children, and I have quite a few that lived in the Happy Valley area, Shasta Lake City. So we did have evacuations happening. I ended up actually deciding to close the agency for 2 days because I had people that were on duty with clients that couldn't evacuate their families. And I ended up calling all the family members, and they stepped up, and it was great. It was a nice, easy transition. Of course, they totally understood. We have a lot of women that have young children, and, you know, I just didn't want anyone having to walk off of a client or jeopardize their family because they couldn't get to them. Mm-hmm. You know, this was a time that you needed to be with your families,
right,
making those decisions. And, and so, but yes, that threw a whole – so then I've got all of these women I am trying to support.
Right.
Through what they're going through. And sometimes when you're in that role, you're not paying as much attention to yourself, right? You're kind of, and it's easy, especially for someone like me, to go, I'm going to bury myself in this part of things because I know how to do this.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to really acknowledge the fact that I'm out of my home, what it felt like to evacuate. There's no hotel rooms, so I'm staying with friends bouncing around me and my dog, and I have amazing friends, so that was fine. But I was able to kind of compartmentalize that a little bit because I had this distraction of helping. And then we got back into town on Monday, putting everybody back to work,
right,
who was home, who was back in town, who wanted to work, which clients, some clients evacuated, how to, and supporting all those families. And it's easy for us to kind of bury our head in the sand, isn't it? A little bit.
us
caregivers.
Yeah. Yeah. I was using the word compartmentalizing a lot last week.
But like, as we said, like, I think it's also important that we give those people, you know, permission and allow those people to process things how they need to, because it was a real, and again, everybody, I had people that were prepared, people that, you know, if you lived in, you know, the Lake Reading area, that was quick, that Keswick area. I mean, it came across the top there. There was
no warning.
There was no warning. And I think people, you know, there was a knock at the door, you have 2 minutes. What do you value in here? You know, where other people on the west side, like myself, we kind of knew that it was coming. And I think still that evacuation is a trauma. But, I mean, definitely when you really don't have any time, you grab your kids and you grab your pets and that's that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So as far as, you know, being a business owner or being in a leadership position at your place of employment and trying to support the folks that are, A, also doing the emotionally taxing work of being a professional caregiver, and being evacuated from your home and or losing your home and not quite sure, you know, how things are going to piece together, is creating a safe space for people to disclose how they're feeling so that they can take that hat off and compartmentalize that event so that there is a space to synthesize it into your daily life. Knowing that everybody has been through a shared experience, but the impact is completely different.
Sure.
So does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think, you know, like we talked about earlier, it's like, hi, I'm Sharon. How did you evacuate?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of this new, because I mean, a lot of people did. So it's like it's like your childbirth experience.
Yeah.
And can we talk about it too much? Can we get just caught up in like just cycling through this over and over and over and over to the point that we're really not in a healthy way talking about it?
We can.
Mm-hmm.
We can. Sometimes our minds just get hijacked by an event or a trigger that we weren't aware was a trigger prior to the event occurring. So let's just take, for example, and this is a PTSD response. There were people that could hear the whoosh of the flames coming up to their homes and turning on the ignition to their car, being a triggered response to experience.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay.
So now they're connecting turning the car on to how they felt that moment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But you can't let it get to a place where it paralyzes you because you still have to drive and you still have to.
Wow, that's a really good example.
To the grocery store.
Right.
So how do you create a space where you can either ask somebody to drive with you? I mean, you take those baby steps, and you seek emotional support from someone that is in a healthier frame of mind that can help feed you some ideas on how you can incorporate this into your life without letting it paralyze you.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And there's probably a zillion examples of that, of a task somebody was doing during a trauma. And then that task, well, it's like a smell will take you back to a place.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, olfactory senses, our noses are just triggered straight to the brain. Mm-hmm. And even just smelling in the smoke in the air right now, for some, including myself, is just a reminder of everything that was lost.
Oh, it's totally true, because I kind of, like, this morning, I'm, you know, going about my morning, I'm not really thinking about this, and I let my dog out, and it's just like a barbecue smell, right?
Right.
And I'm like, there we, you know, the air quality's still bad, we're still dealing with this fire, because there is part of you that's like, can we be done with this yet?
Yeah.
You know, can we get back to just the repair of our community? Can we just get over it? But we're, I mean, this fire is still burning, it's still out there,
right.
It's still... I think, what was the latest, 47%? I don't know, Bob, you may know. It wasn't even 50% yet, was it?
No.
Containment, yeah, still about 47%,
yeah.
170,000. I'll have to pull that exact number up. But it's slowed the growth. It's away from the urban area. Now there are still, and the number of threatened homes has dropped below 1,000 now. So, we don't completely have arms around this thing yet, but we're getting there. I mean, mm-hmm. those crews have been – these events, these are not fast events. This will go on and on for weeks, and our air quality will be pretty rough for weeks, and that's another impact on our mental state and especially those who are older.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. And I definitely – I was, like, really super tired earlier this week and just had a really bad headache. And mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. then I think to, like, you know, acknowledge that, okay, this is probably why you're feeling this way. The stress of everything else. I still have not unpacked everything. I'm out of my routine. I haven't been taking my supplements like I should. You know, we're all, like you said, we've got to find our way back, especially your health. I know right. people get out of maybe going to the gym, or it's easy to get off your medications.
Right.
You know, if you're, you know, people took 3 days, maybe when they evacuated, they may have been gone longer. Now you're trying to get back into your rhythm of that. And, yeah, I just think it's kind of a far reaching situation. It's a marathon, not a sprint, right?
Exactly. Well, and at this point, walking is better than running.
Mm-hmm.
Just slowing down long enough to feel the impact and still have a sense of intention. So for a lot of people, what it was that motivated them in the past is still a driving force. So for some, and I'm going to speak for some of the caregivers that I work with right now, we have, you know, quite a few patients and clients that suffer from COPD or congestive heart failure, and they are being deeply impacted physiologically and
right.
emotionally
sure.
by the air quality. And there's nothing that anybody can do to stop it from happening except treat the symptoms. And that's exactly what we as caregivers have to do for ourselves, is treat the symptoms of the stress and the trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that does take time, and that does mean that we slow down and we take, pardon the pun, deeper breaths.
Mm-hmm. Well, and listening to your body.
And listening to your body.
Right. I mean, you know, slowing down, listening to your body. If your body needs to sleep, sleep. If your body needs to eat, eat.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, and I do agree, and I have a couple clients who have breathing disorders or asthma.
Mm-hmm.
And aside from leaving, I mean, almost the state at this point, I mean, I think the coast has issues too, right?
Yes.
With air quality.
Yes.
I mean, there's really, it's hard to tell somebody, you know, this is just your new normal for now. Which then you're dealing with maybe some depression going on
Absolutely.
With some of these people too, because maybe they want to get out. Maybe they want to go see their grandkids. Maybe they want to go watch their grandkids at football practice. And now
right.
that's not an option for people anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
So you find ways. So FaceTiming,
mm-hmm.
Skyping, those are the ways that we can still connect on a societal and familial level. What was really, really fantastic about Facebook this last week was the amount of outpouring of support and encouragement that was coming from across, I mean, all over the world.
Yes.
People were just checking in. People that you hadn't heard from in a really, really long time.
Mm-hmm.
So the support systems are there. But going back to, you know, when is it not healthy to share your story over and over and over again? And that goes back to slowing down and asking yourself, what is my intention? What is it that I'm trying to get out of sharing this story right now?
Because that also connects you back to all those emotions again.
Exactly.
Yeah. I want to talk more with Candace. I want to talk a little bit about if you think that one of your loved ones or someone in your social circle is having issues.
Yes.
What can we be looking for with that person?
Okay.
And how might we suggest help for them?
Okay.
Because I think some of us may be feeling okay ourselves, but we may see other people that are struggling.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll talk more about that. Stay tuned for more Generations Talk Radio right after this.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Light Church in Bella Vista. Are we enjoying the unity and peace our immoral, godless leaders promised if we would just give up the idea of God? No, we are experiencing violence, hatred, immorality, chaos, and much more, all of which the Bible calls lawlessness. Sadly, those practicing lawlessness are living under a strong delusion of lies as they reject God's truth and have pleasure in unrighteousness. This strong delusion will keep them from knowing the truth that can make them free. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toya stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a running sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
Are you entertainment-minded? Do you like to hear people discuss fun topics?
Well, we talk about all things pop culture.
From movies and TV to books, music, games, and everything in between. But with a twist, everything is not very current.
We'll talk about things we recently discovered and have decided we just have to share our thoughts on.
Which gives us the title of our show.
We're a little behind.
Hosted by us, Chris and Jen Gomez.
Join us every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. for We're a Little Behind. Right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM.
Locally owned KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Radio, is also home to local programming and local sports. Mondays at 6 p.m., Radio Wasteland explores the mysteries all around us with a team of researchers who dig deep into the unseen world. Thursdays at 6, it's Chris and Jen Gomez keeping you up on pop culture and entertainment with We're a Little Behind, KCNR, where you also get local high school football, basketball, and, of course, baseball with the Reading Colt 45s. KCNR 1460.
You make me feel so young.
Thanks for joining me for Generations Talk Radio. I am your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. My guest this morning is Candace Barker. She is a Master's of Social Work with Sojourn Hospice and also their bereavement coordinator. And we've just been chatting about a training that she took last weekend, Skills for Psychological Recovery, which the McConnell Foundation underwrote, funded, and a lot of our local social workers, masters and licensed clinical social workers, came into this training to better their communities. A lot of those folks are in the field of caregiving and hospitals and medical fields where they're really trying to support all of us as we kind of start processing all of this. This trauma basically that we've experienced. And we were just talking with Bob off the air about, just this is going to be a process.
It is going to be a very long process.
We had a natural disaster occur in our community, similar to, and we did have a tornado, but an earthquake or, something along those lines. I mean, we're experiencing, and I think in some ways, The challenge is that it wasn't like an event that happened in one day and then we were just in recovery mode. It was going on and the fire was changing and moving and they couldn't tell us what it was going to do.
Right.
So you're kind of in this adrenaline.
Limbo.
A gal that I know in my social circle evacuated from three places because she was in Old Shasta, then she went to Shasta Lake City, then she went to Happy Valley.
Oh my gosh.
And the joke kind of was, tongue in cheek, don't let her come stay with you. But here she's her husband and two kids and her adult daughter with a newborn was visiting her. So they're just like, you know, and that's just one family story, right?
Yeah,
we have people that, you know, are all different ways and different experiences that they had, and then different people process differently. And so before the break, we kind of talked about what we can look for in our social circles, because you may have a friend who you see is like struggling and maybe isn't themselves.
Right.
And I think you said, you know, you want to allow them to process it, but also like what is too much?
Right.
And what would you suggest, like if someone has a friend that isn't being a social and isn't showing up for things and isn't returning phone calls?
Right.
Like what kind of advice would you have for someone if they have, because someone listening to the show is probably going to either experience that themselves or know somebody that's struggling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, my first advice to any of us, it puts all of us in the caregiver role when we are looking out for loved ones and friends, is that we model what it looks like to be an active participant in recovery. So if there are things that you need for yourself, like, you know, professional assistance or to go on vacation. I mean, there are plenty of people that were feeling guilty about whether they should take their own vacations right now. And everyone was just saying, go. Life goes on.
Right.
Show us that there is a life after this and do it. And then come back and say, hey, I haven't talked to you in a while. How are things going? So that they can see a way through.
Mm-hmm.
You're almost as an individual mapping a way through a process that you can join and ask them to participate in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a rescuer role. It is a let me show you a way through. And then people are far more likely to see the end results of what it is that you're already doing. Because some of the fear that we have right now when there's so much that is not within our control is trying to dictate how other people are going to feel and saying what you're feeling is wrong. And it's not wrong. Wherever you are is perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to create that space where it's safe enough to be that new you that is coming forward. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that right now, I mean, even in the position of being an employer and a professional caregiving capacity, our organization, we have debriefings. We schedule a set time for our team to sit down and process where they're at in their life with regards to the situation, without any expectation that they are going to say what we want them to say, or that we're going to correct them. It's just a space for them to say, like, I'm having a really hard time sleeping, and this is really concerning me.
Mm-hmm.
And validating that experience, because everybody's experience is uniquely their own.
Right, and you can't have fear that you're going to, like, say something and be like, oh, come on.
Right.
That's silly, or that's not reasonable, or
correct.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that we can be able to reclaim who we are in light of this fire.
Well, and I think, too, having that space, because you may not even realize that you need to say something, but when you're sitting down with a team of folks and you're like, okay, where's everybody at today, something may come out that you don't even realize.
Right.
That you need to vent out and say, and then you go through your day and that's off your plate.
Yes.
Like, here's my, you know, I slept horrible last night. And like you said off the air earlier, there's people that got that knock at the door with that 2 minutes. And so you can imagine that sleep is now connected to this knock at the door of pound, 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 pound. You have 2 minutes.
Correct.
You know, and that's the
scary.
I mean, I luckily didn't have that, but, or starting the car as the flame, as I heard the flames coming. I mean, I definitely, the great thing I think for me that came out, one of the great things is I met a lot of neighbors I didn't know.
Yeah.
And we kind of laughed about, you know, can we just have a block party and have a beer? we really don't need this to bring us together. And so we kind of had this little connection as we were waiting for the evacuation orders, right. Which I ended up leaving a little bit before because I listened to, hey, wait, when you feel like you're unsafe, go.
Uh-huh.
So I left a little bit before the call. But then when we all got let back in, we all showed up within probably a 15-minute window, and a gal kind of catty-cornered to me, because I'm on the end, kind of backed up to a green belt, ran across the street before she even went into her home and hugged me and said, we all thought you lost your home. And she was hugging me, and, you know, and I've said hi to her a few times. You know, and so you have these connections, and I think that
it's
so great. It's so great. And we all get that. We are all in that same block. We all saw where these little fires started.
Right.
And luckily everything, you know, burned itself out. But and I think you're all grateful. But I think there is a connection there. And I think we have those connections with people. And I think, too, in going through this process, I think it's important to, if you're struggling, that you also put yourself around people that are doing well, right?
Correct.
Because if you're struggling, it's really tough to be rescuing other people.
Correct.
And so it's important to go, like, this person's doing really well, and they seem really healthy. And I think, like, you know, my friend Robbie, who owns Clear Ease, you know, one of the nights when we were still in the midst of all of this, I put something on Facebook like, you know, her business is open, because mm-hmm. it's tough on these mm-hmm. businesses.
Yeah.
And she said it was so great. A lot of people came down to the restaurant that night, sat in the bar, and no one talked about it.
That's right.
It was like, let's just all do something that feels normal. A lot of people were still evacuated. You know, the fire was kind of out in the Igo area, so it was still affecting people. But just to sit in there and have a cocktail or soda water or whatever and just kind of like go, okay, this, let me have this minute. And she said it was really
Absolutely.
Interesting as she walked through there because nobody was talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't why people wanted to just click into something that felt
normal,
like normal.
Yes.
Like getting back to that. So So I think wherever whether it's the gym or,
right.
you know, lunch with a friend and to go like check in on each other. How are you? But then also go, you know, let's not dwell on that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about mm-hmm. what we're doing to move forward.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I think some of what we're seeing right now is as far as, you know, you coming home and having your neighbor come in and rush over and give you a huge hug, that is the beginning of something new. That's part of that new normal. And if you can, you know, incorporate her into your weekly routine or checking in with her so that, you know, you're moving forward together as a community
mm-hmm.
In that space, it's healing for you and for her. And it models to everyone else what is possible. So for some of us that have these really large perspectives, big picture perspectives, it's very, very hard sometimes to reel it back into ourselves and to say, okay, this is what I need, and I know that it's going to benefit other people too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to show it.
Right.
You know? It got really overwhelming for me, and I could feel the pain of people around me and going, am I up to the task? Do I belong here? Is this something that I can do? And absolutely it's something mm-hmm. that all of us can do.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to come to it at our own pace and have people in our lives that are going to just acknowledge it for what it is and say, okay, what can we do?
Right, and I think the acknowledgement part is something that for me personally has been like, because I'm just kind of a bootstraps girl, you know, like, you know, this bad thing happened, I'm just going to power through. And
right.
which a lot of times in life, it works totally fine.
Right.
But like I said earlier in the show, when my mother passed away very suddenly when she was 40, and we were somewhat estranged at the time. And so there was a lot of, you know, emotions going on. And my doctor's like, you know, how you usually process things, this isn't going to work for you this time.
Yeah.
You know, this
right.
isn't going to work for
right.
you. And so I'm really familiar with that. But a lot of people feel like, okay, the best thing I can do is just to compartmentalize this, shut this down, and move forward. And in these kinds of scenarios, when you've had like an evacuation and you've had, you know, all of this adrenaline and fear
mm-hmm,
and anxiety and all this,
mm-hmm.
it will come out in other ways in your life.
Right.
It will come out. And I'll tell you, when my boyfriend came to visit me on Sunday, he hadn't been with me in Reading since the day he helped me evacuate last Thursday. So it was over a week later. And he was on the phone and very supportive. But when he drove into my neighborhood and saw fences melted down and spot fire black spaces in between the homes and walked around my home and saw how the fire burnt literally up to the back behind my home. Literally, I have a rock wall. Thank goodness I have a rock wall. And how it got, and just his face and his acknowledgement. And even though I know he got how hard this was for me, but just that to go, and he said to me, I feel bad. I didn't bring you flowers or something. You've been through all this. And I said, your face and your acknowledgement of like, that I had experienced this was meant so much to me to have someone close to me go, gosh, this was serious for you.
Yes.
Like this could have been a lot worse for you.
Yes.
And that is real, whether my house is still standing or not.
Right.
You know, and so, well, we're going to take a quick break and come back with our final thoughts on how you can move forward from this. Maybe some ideas to get yourself, if you're feeling kind of in a rut, we'll give you some ideas and some processes that will help you out of this. I know meditation is one that we've kind of talked about. So we'll get back with that right after this. Stay tuned for more Generations Talk Radio.
Who makes potions in the traveling show?
Be careful posting on social media when leaving town for any period of time. With 66% of all burglaries being committed by someone who knows the victim, sharing where you'll be and how long you'll be gone is a sure sign that your home or business is vulnerable. That's all someone from your social media sphere needs to start scheming their way to your essentials. Wait to post those pictures from Hawaii till after you're home, and you'll save yourself some peace of mind knowing your valuables aren't being taken while you're away.
This Security Moment brought to you by North State Security, an ounce of prevention since 1968.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
Hi, this is Connor Sutton. Join me Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. for my all-new sports show where I discuss local, regional, and even national stories, as well as bring on guests with incredible sports knowledge. So join us Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. for Sports Talk with Connor Sutton, the only local sports show in Reading.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name.
I'm Jeff Fink, president and CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank, and I invite you to stop by our new downtown Reading branch located at 1845 California Street, one block south of Jack's Grill, or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Our team is ready to spoil you with personalized service.
Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find a register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Welcome back to Generations Talk Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Clark. Thanks for listening today. We're about to start our final segment with Candace Barker. She's a Master's of Social Work at Sojourn Hospice and also their bereavement coordinator. And we've just been chatting about a recent training that she took, Skills for Psychological Recovery, here in town, funded by the McConnell Foundation. And one of the things I wanted to chat about, which I think is really important, is if we're feeling a little bit in a rut, what are some ideas to, you know, get? I think self-care is like a really important word,
right,
to kind of get yourself to owning where you're at, but also kind of moving yourself forward.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. So one of the pitfalls of trauma is that we freeze sometimes. So there's that fight, flight, or freeze response,
yeah.
The paralyzation.
Yeah.
And then the trauma itself manifests inside your body. And then you are frozen, and your perspective is very, very limited, and it makes it very difficult to process. So exercise is one fabulous way. I go to Balanced Yoga, that's over off of Bocelli. They have a really fabulous class called Movement and Meditation on Sunday nights from 6 to 7:15. I had my first yoga, like collective yoga class, this last Sunday, and that was the first time that I felt normal in a really long time. There are lots of other places that you can take children, like Rare Air. Can go inside and just bounce it out, have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is balancing the amount of physical exercise and community outreach. So for some, you know, they're already volunteering at Haven Humane or at a One Safe Place, you know, all of these other
fundraising or whatever.
But now with the Shasta Strong movement, which I think is wonderful, I think that it's great that we can acknowledge that strength has always been there, and that's what's going to move us forward, is that we have the Reading Will Rise happening on August 18th, where all 100% of the sales tickets will go to the Shasta Regional Foundation's Community Disaster Relief Fund. And it is actually Saturday, August 18th, at the Yuba Street. It's being put on by the Rosary. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Oh, you just said Siri, so she came on.
Oh,
Siri, you were talking to her. I love live radio.
Absolutely. Okay, so laughter and singing.
Yeah,
my sister has been laughing at the fact that, like, I can't stop singing. She says to me today, I'm getting ready to go. And I said, are your bags are packed? Are you ready to go?
You know, so. We were talking earlier about, I think it's important to have some humor.
Absolutely.
I mean, in the middle of all of this, when that albino python got missing. you know, it was like, I can handle the evacuations, but I don't think I could handle a snake in my backyard.
Yeah.
Like, there's only so much we can tolerate. But I think, like, to have, you know, laughter through tears is one of the best healing ways, you know.
Yes.
And I think also to be really careful that we look at those around us processing this, that we don't see people, you know, maybe drinking more than they should or self-medicating in other ways, because that's something that can definitely happen with this kind of thing, right?
Absolutely.
And what,
absolutely.
Like I said, you know, going to have a cocktail with friends is one thing, but if especially if somebody maybe struggled before.
Correct.
And this may have been a trigger, because we can always justify things like, okay, I'm not going to quit drinking right now because this is too stressful at
the
time. But I think, you know, to be really healthy with our choices, because it's easy to self-medicate.
Correct.
Through this stuff. So,
you know, you brought up another really good point with some of the firefighters that are still tasked with putting this fire out and saying, you know, everything that I thought and knew has failed at this point. And there is that attachment that we have to the service that we provide. And when it doesn't work out the way that we expected it to, we can fall back into or introduce new ways of coping that aren't necessarily the best.
Mm-hmm.
Surrounding yourself again with people who have been in your shoes that are processing these things in a healthier way is a good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
It's why the firefighting community is so close-knit.
Right. Brothers and sisters.
Brothers and sisters.
Well, and I think, too, like, as great as Facebook has been for me, I mean, and I had a high school friend, like, I have a truck, I'll be there in 2 hours.
Yes.
You know, I'm thinking, dude, I'm going to be evacuated before 2 hours. I mean, I had family members from all over. I also took a break from some of that this weekend for my psyche.
Yeah.
I also just put my phone away because I've been on the news cycle, like, you know, KRCR's, you know, website, Record Search Ice website, Facebook, you know, following friends, following this, following that. It's almost like your brain, it's overload too.
Yes.
To be able to say, okay, I'm going to take an hour tonight and I'm not going to look at anything. Because especially now that we're safe, you know, at this point, we're safe. It's not like we have to be watching, because there was a time it's like it, the winds are switching. We don't know where it's going. But now it's like, you know, take a break from social media if you've, because I'm easily to get sucked into that.
Then
it's almost like you're on this emotional roller coaster. It's perpetuating all of that. And so to go like, okay, I'm going to unplug for a minute. And let the, because the news cycle creates this news. They want us, the panic cycle of that, you know, there's a reason we want people to tune in. We've got to present things in a certain way to make people think we need to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's easy to keep being sucked into that, which a lot of my clients, the elderly,
right.
I mean, this issue, whether they were impacted or not, they were on the 24-hour news cycle.
Right.
When those Chilean miners were stuck, I had clients, we had to like force them to bed and turn the phone off or turn the TV off.
Because
it's like their brains get so involved in that, just like ours. And so it's important, I think, to like be informed, but also
To distance yourself.
Yes, there can be, it can be too heavy. It can be too much. Because again, you watch it long enough, you're gonna, and I mean, what's great, I think, is coming out now is like the stories, the really positive stories.
Yes.
And which is what I like to hear. Like the pets being reunited. Like we need some fluff and love and rainbows. Yes. They found the python. Yay. In fact, really, I want to challenge people when you have one of these fundraisers. Can we invite the python to come?
Yeah.
It would be really funny to have like a...
It's supposed to be a very friendly snake.
Yeah.
As those snakes go.
Really funny to have, because it was like Reading Reptiles or something. I didn't even know this club existed. But to have the python come so we can all meet her, because she's a survivor too. And she brought us a little bit of humor. So did we figure out what this event was that you were going to say real quick? It's August 18th.
August 18th from 2 to 8 p.m. The location is 1416 Yuba Street here in Reading. And you can actually find it on Facebook if you just put or search Reading Will Rise. It's a downtown benefit for the victims of the car fire. And it's outdoors in the promenade.
Okay.
So there's going to be dance, music, art.
What a great healing thing for our community, the camaraderie of, again, like maybe not talking about everything, but just being with other people that went through the same experience.
Correct.
And having a good time.
Yes.
I think that's a great way to kind of start the, because I really haven't, I've been to a couple things, but I would love to go to a celebratory event. Yeah, that
Absolutely.
Sounds really fun. Well, thanks for joining me today.
Well, thanks
It's been great having you. And I think that, and if people have questions, can they give you a call?
They can certainly give me a call, and I'll also give you my email address. So I can be reached at Sojourn Hospice at 855-472-3892. My direct email for work is K for Candace, Barker, B-A-R-K-E-R, at Sojourn, which is spelled Sojourn, Reading.com.
And if you didn't get any of that, you're feel free to call me at Home Helpers, and I can hook you up with Candace's info. And I think, and if you have a friend that you think would benefit from the show, we do archive all the shows at GenerationsTalkRadio.com. So feel free to go there, and you can download it and put it on your podcast or walk with it or play it for your friend, even email it to your friend, because I know that as you're listening, you may think, oh my gosh, I think so and so really would benefit from hearing this, because it's hard, I think, to say to a friend, I think you're having trouble processing this.
Absolutely.
You know, I think you're struggling. So it might be easy to say, hey, I heard a radio show. You know, they really acknowledge that what all of us are kind of going through. I thought it might be great for you to listen in. And so, again, GenerationsTalkRadio.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Generations Talk Radio. We are here every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Where we embrace aging. So thanks for joining us today. Candace, you're awesome. I'm going to have you come back on.
Thank you so
much. I really want to have you come back on, too, to talk more about families and aging and the social work side of that, because oftentimes I feel like I'm a social worker.
Yes.
I'm thrown into that bucket, but really I'm not. But a lot of that's happening. So, and remember, do not regret growing older. It is a privilege denied to many. Have a great day.
The news is brought to you on KCNR at Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.